Do.
Hi everyone, it's Friday, June the 14th, 2013, today, when we're recording. My name's Vangelis, and I'm joined by Aaron.
Who's stuffed up like none other.
Well, what'd you do on the weekend?
I went to Brick World.
Wait. No, you didn't.
We'll go to Brick World.
Yeah, well, I hope you have a good time.
Me too.
Also joining us today is Omegas Prime.
Everyone around me is getting sick. It's so weird.
That's what happens when you time travel as much.
Do you know what I'm really freaked out by? The place I'm interning at, everyone there is catching a horrible flu one after the other, and the moment one gets better, someone else gets it. Then when they get better, the person who first got it gets it again, and my nose feels very tight right now.
Okay. So, I'll admit minor allergies, so no worries on that front.
I might need to run to get an aspirin while we're recording.
Aspirin generally doesn't do a whole lot for allergies, but okay.
Well, I have a headache, though.
Oh.
I don't think aspirin's going to do much for a perpetual motion plague.
I just want to lessen the impact when it hits me in the face. But hopefully I won't be sick when I record again next week. The week of June the 17th, 2013. Excuse me. That was my nose. Well, we're here today.
Like your throat, but okay.
Huh? No, it was my nose. What? We don't tell lies on this podcast. And maybe you have something to tell the rest of us.
I'm good.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not good.
You're but great.
I'll stumble on.
Okay. Let's talk about Transformers, because we started talking about something, and then I was like, hey, why don't we just get to it, because it's the first topic. Transformers Go! Animation trailer and details is out. This is the first trailer for the, I guess, at least for now, one DVD OVA type thing. Maybe even just a short. Anyway, the robots are in CG. There's a sort of a stock footage transformation, except that it has, like, aspects of Prime's Transform on the Fly going on. It takes place in feudal Japan. Anyway, the we're introduced to the robots. We get mostly a really good look at Kenzan, the leader of the samurai sword bots. He's the police car in feudal Japan, and the things I really liked about his CG model are not only does his headband piece rise up to reveal his eyes, but his top knot flips out of the back of his head, and that doesn't happen on the toy, and that's kind of bumming me out. I really wanted a fold-out top knot, you know, little thing, this little ponytail on the back of his head. We got to see the other two samurai bots as well. Anyway, it looks interesting, and I really want to watch it because it's been a while since we've seen goofy ass anime Transformers, and I kind of miss it. But Aaron, what are your thoughts on Transformers Go?
The two things that really stuck in my mind was the modern day police car in feudal Japan. Yeah. Oh. Okay. I could see a car because Cybertron, but why all the police trim? Anyway,
he loves that, Prowl. He loves
that,
Prowl.
And then yeah, and then I love the classic Japanese anime. The bad guy when he's first introduced is all in shadow with, like, heat ripple effect over him.
And it's laser back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's him with a new head and whatnot, but
right, but it's just like, oh, who's this bad guy? You can't really tell, because we're giving absolutely no detail, but ooh. Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Omegas Prime, how are you feeling about Transformers Go's animation trailer?
I am so confused. I am excited because it's weird and different, and I'm confused.
The grass is always greener.
To be.
The grass is always greener. Can I tell you guys my theory?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you anyway because I get to. Ha!
If you mention police call boxes, I will shoot you.
I don't watch that show. because Kamen Rider dropkicked the police call box and it exploded. That's canon. It's Kamen Rider John Hurt. I think this may be the Japanese canon reason why the Predacons became fossils in present time. I think these are three Autobots who went back in time and lived among the feudal Japanese people. I think these three Autobots are perhaps the things that wiped out the original Predacons, and I suspect that this whole story will be feasibly slottable into the canon of Transformers Prime in the most lovely way possible.
Like Transformers Prime or all of Transformers the way that Japan tends to run it?
I don't know about that. I'm just thinking in the realm of Transformers Prime. Like, I think this literally actually would fit in with our Transformers Prime, English-speaking Transformers Prime, because these robots went back to feudal Japan, so they'd pick up that language and that culture, right? So they're fighting Predacons in feudal Japan, right? So it all makes sense. It all fits together. And there's going to be another trio of them who are ninjas, right? So what if the end of Transformers Prime Season 3 is like a portal erupting through space-time, the original Predacons flying through it being chased by two trios of bellowing Japanese anime robots who are like noticeably brighter in texture?
That would be interesting.
I think this is in canon.
When you said you had a theory, for some reason, my brain went to, like, you were going to go for this as some, like, post-apocalyptic, but Japan's come back around the other side to feudal Japan when it was all better because a bunch of just Totsutaku crazy people end up in power and that's what they remember of old Japan, so...
Nothing as simple as that.
Okay.
This is the time loop.
I like how that's the simple one.
This is the time loop. This closes the loop. And it solves the question of what wiped out the original Predacons if they were so badass. What literally reduced them to CNA-laden fossils. Time-traveling ninja and samurai Autobots. Boom. I was actually kind of upset that we didn't get to see stock footage for the other two. I'll throw in there.
So how does this affect the canon of Rescue Bots?
Rescue Bots takes place in whatever that little town is, so they aren't aware of all these goings-on, because all these goings-on happened hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, but if you want to complete the canon, you gotta work it in.
Yeah, I mean, they're just doing a thing off on the side. You know, they're fighting Tim Curry. Now, if a Tim Curry-voiced American or British man shows up, like, you know, one who lived in the feudal Japanese days, shows up in Transformers Go, then the loop will truly be complete. No, the loop is already complete. The Triforce will be complete.
One of the ancient Predacons just inexplicably having a British accent.
Yep. Played by Tim Curry. I mean, he would have been if Tim Curry hadn't had that unfortunate, you know, was it a stroke?
Stroke, yeah.
Yeah. From which I really hope he does recover. So this makes me really kind of jazzed for this whole thing, but not so much because it has anything to do with Transformers. Because this all just feels like everything I loved about, like, the concept of Takara and Sunrise Animation's Brave series is. Like, you got a trio of colorful robots, they scream in Japanese a whole lot, they're fighting robot dragons. They all have swords or something like that. It's very, very, very brave.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I don't fault anyone who feels absolutely nothing watching all this stuff. Did you guys know that they were actually selling advanced copies of the three toys at that Tokyo Toy Show that we're talking about a bit later?
Really?
Yeah, so some dudes in Japan have actually started to reveal what the electronics are. And this is all relevant, I think. So, I mean, this is going to mostly be... I think Omegas is going to be the most in tune with this, but you know the Kyoryuger gimmick, right?
Yeah.
So, Kenzan, right? The police cars, the guy with all the electronics. And their combination is called a Kabuto Gatai. Because they have these Kabuto things that turn into the head and chest pieces of the combined modes, and otherwise fold up into big, obvious-looking gun assemblies, right?
Yeah.
So literally, they shout, Beetle Combine.
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, Sanjo Gatai, and then, like, music starts playing. So you combine them, right? And you push the button on Kenzan, who already has a bunch of stuff to say in car mode or robot mode. When you combine them, you get voice clips of the other two as well, and they're all bellowing their names and saying Sanjo Gatai, and then a song starts playing until you plug something in. So you combine them like with Kenzan on top, right? And you plug in the chess piece with the head attached to it. When you put the chess piece in, it then says it's turning into Go Kenzan. And then when you hold the button down, he actually has a Go Kenzan specific, like, attack call, right? Then the guy put up a video of them combined as Go Jinbu. And when you put Go Jinbu's chess piece in, it connects to, right down to the belt piece, which is now where Kenzan is located. Kenzan's main blue light now turns yellow, and you get a bunch of sounds for Go Jinbu. So I bet you Go Gano has another chess piece that hits another small switch that makes the lights all go red, so that now the thing's all like, I'm Go Gano. So I think it's kind of cool. Like, they got the system built in so that the electronics actually recognize which of the combinations you're in.
Yeah, as long as that's all plugging into the same thing, you could do that with two switches.
Yeah.
Like, left switch, right switch, both switch.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, like, the thing I couldn't tell is it plugging into the same thing? I couldn't tell it from the video, which...
It would have to in order to have any sort of idea of what's going on there.
I figured it could just be, like, different little buttons all throughout the chest area on the guy. Like, they could be locational.
More complex. No, but that's what it'd be, wherever it clicks into. Yeah. As long as that piece on the chest is always forward for the chest plate thing to plug into, either like a low connection, middle connection, or high connection, and it would have like one or two buttons, and depending on which combination you get in, it would be easy enough to do that. Where it would get crazy is if you find out that the next guys can also plug in and do something else.
That's the thing I'm wondering about. Like, now, if it is, as you say it, like it's just two buttons and it's one, two, or none, right? Or, like, one left, right, or both, then that's totally cool. But if it is the case where it's, like, a high button, a low button, and a middle button or something, and so you have, like, that extra level, like, three buttons, so you have, like, extra combinations that could happen, how friggin' cool would it be if the Shinobi bots could get extra sounds coming out of them, too? Hmm. I'm not expecting it, but the potential is interesting.
Yeah, because if you had three, then you could get seven total things out of it.
Yeah.
The way this seems
engineered, you know, literally the only ones really connecting to is the one that's going to be in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so by process of elimination, it knows who the legs are, but based on who is connected to it.
Oh well, sorry, I misunderstood you. The thing that's setting it off is wherever Kenzan is. So he's either the upper chest, the midriff, or the belt. But the chest pieces plug over that entire area. So I misunderstood you.
Okay. But still, it can tell who's on top of it, who's on bottom of it. So it wouldn't be like, I'm curious if it would be able to tell. Like, okay, say you've got two of the vehicles, and then one of the beasts forms the upper chest. Like Kenzan's the legs, so you got one in the middle, and then from another set, one on top. Would it be able to tell who's on top?
It depends where the part on the Kabuto armor is sticking out, I think, because that seems to be the thing that sets off the recognition.
Well, that then wouldn't it be an issue of you have three, one, if you've got a leg thing, you automatically know who the top is going to be just because there's three.
Right.
And so this, it's not terribly a trick, it's just math.
This all makes me want to get these guys in hand so I can better start really trying to hack the system.
I still have my my chopsticks here for the for the belt.
Get my expert hacking equipment. Toothpicks.
Sticks.
Not toothpicks. That's lame. Chopsticks.
So all this being said, I also want to say, like, these things are like everything I've wanted out of Super Sentai toys for years. And that by no means has me saying a Transformers fan should be all over these, because these are like, I love these for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with why I like Transformers. And they're also totally like a Brave callback that hit me the right way. It's really funny. I'm really excited about these new Transformers toys, and if they weren't called Transformers, I would be equally as excited. Do either of you guys have plans to pick them up in the future?
I want to paw somebody's at a convention.
I'm kind of undecided. The more I kind of see of them, the less the aesthetic kind of works for me. But if I get the chance, I probably won't say no.
Okay. Yeah, I decided to kind of roll the dice and just pre-order all three off HLJ and see what happens. Which means I will probably, if anyone's coming out for TFCon, I can wave them at them. If anyone's coming out for...
Yeah.
Well, apparently no one's coming out for TFCon.
Yeah,
No one's... Huh?
Look, I know I'm not muted. I see it's not flashing at me. I know I had it muted before and I tried to say something.
I'm playing mind games. Anyway. Fair. These guys are currently in the hands of several Japanese fans. The guy who put up YouTube clips of the electronics, for whatever reason, did full photo reviews of Jinbu and Kenzan and then, like, went to bed. And then went to work and then went to bed. And hasn't posted anything about Gano. So, that's kind of a bummer. And then there's a guy called Kyoryuger JP who posted a review of Kenzan, like a PIOS-style review, but in Japanese. And then that's it. And he showed the other two. And I was like, why are you okay? Apparently you're not super excited about it, but that's cool. So anyway, Transformers Go is our summer jam of Transformers, it seems. It's a weird, interesting thing. And a whole bunch of people don't like it, but I do. And some other people do as well. That all said, let's do some new picture picks. And Omega's Prime, I want to know what you're going to pick out as a new picture to pick out.
Good lord, there's a billion things out.
Yeah, busy couple of days.
How about we go with this full gallery we've got now for Masterpiece Smokescreen?
Yeah, I don't know which link to click, because Tokyo Toy Show made everything confusing for me with Japanese toys.
Here, that's easy.
Ah, I like it when people just do that. I'm not going to tell the listeners what he did, but it's useful.
But yeah, it is extremely remolded, very boxy in the front now. He's got the spoiler in the back, robot mode. He does have the thicker neck. He's got the show accurate shoulder guns. And he's got the wheels on the shoulders. So it is actually really spot on to the design in the show. I mean, it really did impress me. It's so small to impress me just to have, like, fake wheels on red alert. But this is a completely different level. And there's just so many changes on this. Like, I was really planning on skipping the guy, and I'm kind of tempted now.
I really appreciate how far they went to legitimize putting out all three Fairlady Zs in the same year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like the DevCon oil as the like a door sponsor. So that's the decent little nod for the fans, because I don't think there's the slot fever. Is that anything, or Huck, or Disturbance?
I don't recall them.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay.
Smoke tactics.
Yeah.
What's the tactic? Shoot smoke. What else? I don't know.
It'll make some kind of screen behind me.
Shoot smoke! I'm smoke screen! So, I can't blame anyone who's looking at this guy's robot mode and getting completely turned off by the sheer fluoro-deeriness of the head and the cannons, but I kind of like it. Because what were they going to do? Make him look exactly like Prowl and Smokescreen, or Prowl and Silverstreak, or just go crazy like this? I prefer the go crazy, because...
Oh, yeah.
There are two who don't look like this, so...
Well, that's accurate to how he looked in the cartoon. I mean, yeah. Season 2, all the remolds were done a lot more accurate to the toys. It set them apart, so it's nice of them to actually acknowledge that. Yeah. They could have taken a very easy way out, and they didn't. Bravo.
And the easy way out would have made him so much less interesting to look at all. And, I mean, one could argue that all they had to do was the front bumper and the spoiler, but... To give him the, like, you know, this approach to, you know, the head and the cannons and his robot mode means that in that shot of the three of them standing next to each other, they look like three different guys. Right. And it's a calculated risk, because it pushes the anime accuracy side, like, farther than anyone else. And There are parts of the G1 cartoon that do not resonate with some folks. So, you know, if not working for you, then you got two other ones to look for. So, don't worry about smokescreen.
Personally, or you can just, buy it.
No, you have to. I rescind my previous comment. If you don't like it, then suck it up. Are you a collector or are you a mouse? I guess it sounds like you guys are both feeling pretty good about smokescreen here.
He does look good. It's all three of these, even knowing that they're basically the same, look different enough that somebody that needs justification has it real easy.
I feel like figuring out how to make Red Alert and Sideswipe look so different, and then doing all three Fair Ladies so different, was almost like Takara Tomy really just laying down their hand and going, like, look at what we can do, we're taking this seriously. And yeah. Even using one helmet and the other face to make Tiger Track different.
Yeah.
The Masterpiece line definitely feels like it's not just trying to have a big release every year or two and make a bunch of gusto about it. Like, it sounds like it is a now a real labor of love, a real project with, like, a team severely, solidly behind it.
Yeah. So what do you think, who do you think the license that was hard to acquire that they finally got was?
If it's not Bumblebee or Jazz, then I am surprised they're making this much of noise about it.
Like, yeah. Those are the only two I can really think of.
And either of them, like, that would be such a huge victory.
Right. Alfie wants it to be Jazz, but not so very much. She wants it to be Jazz so she can have herself a Masterpiece Jazz, and she doesn't want it to be Jazz because then she has to buy the Japanese toys that get dangerous.
And the precedent's been set now that they might do an MP20G as a G2 Jazz, yep, with a big turquoise cannon, so...
And that's two. I think Meister, or not Meister, I think that...
I'm not going to say
Target Master. I'm not going to pulling a blank.
I know what it is, but I want you to have
Ricochet,
to remember.
Ricochet, Stepper.
Oh, this allergy's killing me.
He's sick. Help him out.
You got to stop rubbing those spores up your nose.
Oh, I know.
I know it's tempting, but
I should stop breathing. That'll fix my problem.
Yeah, I mean, what? Why are you doing that in allergy season? Anyone could tell you.
I know. It's my own fault. I think that the Target Master repaint is far enough out that doesn't count for her.
I think it should count.
Well, you can be the one to tell her that.
I can, because I'm in another country.
I'll just have to deliver some kickboxing roundhouse kick on her behalf.
Canadian laws, something, something, something. So Smokescreen, he's happening in December, I believe. Which is also great, because it means that everyone's going to have just long enough to start getting the other two out of their minds before this very different-looking remold pops up. Good planning. I can't think of a fourth one they could do. Aside from some weird Diaclone color, like a blue one.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, just how full circle that would be, like a Masterpiece blue streak?
Oh, God.
Like, we're going to finally close the loop?
And... Something would implode.
I'm trying to think. This mold didn't get a G2 paint, did it?
Nope. That's what left it desirable for a couple of years in the early 2000s, because there was no G2 version. They should just make up a G2 version.
Yeah.
Let E-Hobby go nuts.
This is the unreleased version.
Turquoise Prowl. I'd buy it. Because, slight tangent, but man, that like G2 Sideswipe, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
It's already a good toy.
My God, it's the 90s in plastic.
It's a pair of machine guns, just a pair of spike wheels. Like, So that's Smokescreen. Aaron, what's your new picture pick?
I'll continue the Jazz discussion.
Why?
Well, because we have images for the Generations Deluxe Wave 4. Started out with the Wreckers, and we see what the Wreckers combine into Ruination, in their version of Ruination. Mm-hmm. We have a name of what it all combined is.
Yeah, it's Ruination, but no one that I know of took pictures of the instruction books, which is what I really want. Okay. So I want to know the official way to build those other two guys into arms.
Okay. But then shortly after that, because that's 5 in a case of 8, then they showed pictures of Jazz and Optimus Prime. And Optimus Prime has a little bit of touch-up. Jazz looks significantly different.
Visor.
It's a painted visor and darker plastic on his blues,
mm-hmm.
it seems. So, Variant Hunters, there you go. Alfie is very upset that she now has to hunt down another Jazz.
Hell, everyone who waited, you've won. Because, yeah. I mean, that's the biggest victory of the Repro label set is the visor. And
yeah,
now you don't have to worry about it.
That the blue definitely does make a big difference. I think that... I can't remember if he was light piped or not. I don't have that mold up and available.
He really attempted to be light piped, and
it was too dark. It was like a really dark blue.
If you put a mag light right up against his head, it would work.
Okay, but so it was like a really super dark,
yeah,
but too dark to really pipe it. So they probably went, well, that was an experiment that sure was a thing, and then moved on from there.
Yeah, that seemed like one of those learning experiences of, like, does this light pipe? Nope. Okay.
Yeah. You'd think they'd do a test run or something, but, you know.
You'd think they'd care about what the fans want.
Hasbro.
They. I love the nebulous they.
They. Them.
Them. They.
Those, those guys.
Why don't they, them, fix it?
You got to make the in there too.
You got to go the that, like it's the real throaty forced just, sigh. Yeah. Like not a normal sigh, but like a you know, like you're just shoving a brick out through the back and you're cuz that brick is your madness.
I mean, if I was in charge of Hasbro, that's what I'd do, but
yeah.
You know, they haven't seemed to put me in that position yet.
I don't know. Omegas, do you have any thoughts on these sudden variants?
I'm glad they're doing something.
Yeah.
Because it was really weird just the way that they have to kind of balance out the wave to bring those three back, especially considering I can still find all three of them.
That's the weird side easily. Of this. That's definitely the weird side of this.
I'm kind of amazed they didn't, like, you know, I could understand, like, maybe Shockwave because popularity and he was the shorter end of the case the first time around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was kind of expecting, you know, we've got like Kickback that only has one release so far and, you know, Magnus, who I think everyone agreed was an improvement over Prime.
Kickback retired as an administrator on TFW, so why would he get another toy release?
Yeah. That only makes sense.
That's another thing that those guys need to do more is more poofs.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I think it's a great ending to the story of, oh god, wave one is being packed in here again. And I liked the people in the thread who were going like, wow, it's not just leftover wave one restock.
Right, because there's also no War for Cybertron or Fall of Cybertron sticker on it.
Yeah. This is a very positive but completely ignorable thing in most people's radars, and I kind of like it. It's cool.
Yep.
Do you guys want to talk a little bit about Ruination? Because I wanted to mention I loved the... I mean, not everyone, but the small number of people simply seeing a picture of the 5 toys combined but with, like, 5 mech tech weapons stuck onto them turned around so many people's opinions on this like, set.
Yeah.
Like, just a handful of people who are like, well, now he looks good, and I'm like... All that's different is someone stuck 5 guns on him, but they stuck him in really good places.
Right.
There's
something to be said for a well-placed firearm.
Yeah. I want to pick this guy up, because I like these 5 toys. So, a proper variant, not just, like, another color scheme, is, it's totally getting me ready. And I like the colors. The only problem I have is that I wish Whirl and Impactor didn't look so much alike.
Yeah.
If Whirl had skipped the orange, I think that would have looked better as a team. Because now it looks like Whirl and Impactor are on one team, and the other three guys just showed up. I know there's unifying blues and oranges in them, but on the other three, those unifying colors are way less apparent.
Oh, yeah.
Way less apparent. They're there, but they're way less apparent.
They've got the bright blue that you associate with World done up on his toy, but, you know, it's obvious those two should have been switched.
Yeah.
You make, make that light blue a lot more prevalent.
I think just redoing World's colors would bring the team together better for me, but hey, you know, that's 4 out of 5 color wise, and World is my favorite individual toy of the five, so he still gets enough points to get a passing grade. Although I'd love to see an extensive Repro label set done for him. Just panel every single part you can.
Just a whole vinyl skin thing.
Yeah, just get a whole bunch of that Oracal and just let me skin that toy.
And then you could get, like, new pieces to put on there.
Yeah.
And then new pieces to replace the other pieces, then you could get a completely different toy that way.
Yeah, 50% third-party toy. 75% with the Repro label, sorry.
At least 90% or it's not worth it.
That's right. Omega,
you keep the screws from the original one.
As another person who bought more than one Bruticus and didn't seem to regret it, how are you feeling about Ruination?
And I'm running out of space for these guys.
Well, you can put them on the Autobot shelf, you know?
Well, it's kind of a shared shelf right now.
I want to know maybe it's just on the back of the boxes or something. I want to know if anyone wrote just a paragraph as to what this Ruination is supposed to be. Because he's got Emirate Zeron's head.
It's such a weird amalgam of Wrecker everything.
Yeah.
I think I have to buy it just out of principle and just figure out where it's going to go then.
What I really like is that the choices are really logical, because you got Impactor as the center, and he's the iconic Wrecker leader, right?
Right.
Then you got Roadbuster and Whirl, which were the two toys by that company whose name I always forget. And then you got Topspin and Twin Twist, the jump starters. So it's like two pairs plus a focal point. It's really logical. There's also a whole bunch of variant decos on the symbols showing up already, which I find kind of odd. Apparently it might be due to a mixture of some of them coming out of the factory lines and some of them being bought more properly. But yeah, those guys are out and about somewhere in Asia, so they'll be out and about over here, you know, pretty soon. I'm not in a rush to get them, but I'm not in a rush, but people are instilling a rush because a lot of people are starting to think that the Wreckers are going to be like this line's Skyquake, that they're coming out too late in the line, and they might end up being hard to find, and I hope that's not the case. So that's some Wrecker news. I got my own new picture pick. It's a real simple one, but it's one that has a whole lot of punch. And like, there's other links that could be attached to this, but I'm just going to plug in the one. So we got eHobby photos, so, you know, the really pretty photos, of one of the upcoming Transformers Generations releases over in Japan, where they are, for Generations, they are going all out classic Takara Tomy style, or Takara style, I guess, of just loading down deluxes with enough paint to make them cost as much as Voyagers. And in this case, I am completely sold on one of these two packs. So some of these Generations deluxes, these are the IDW deluxes. Some of these are getting individual releases, like Bumblebee, but some of them are getting two-packed together, like Hoist and Trailbreaker. So we're going to talk more about that later on, but the main one I want to talk about here, as far as the new picture pick, is Orion Pax versus Megatronus. Now, this is the Optimus, or the Orion Pax, and the Megatron from the first wave of the IDW deluxes. Apparently in Japan, they're presenting this Megatron as Megatronus. I already thought this two-pack was funny, because it's like Optimus Prime before he's Optimus fighting a Megatron in a body a Megatron was put into, because Optimus Prime killed him, pretty much. So it's like it's a versus that literally cannot happen. But
has Japan gotten the IDW comics?
I don't know. I heard a rumor that some fans have been getting the comics and really enjoying them, but I don't know how to substantiate that.
Okay.
However, the paintwork on these, Orion Pax, you know, the paint has got that lovely candy red. We don't know tons about that mold. We got a couple shots of an in-hand prototype. It didn't really speak much to me, so I don't really know what I think of that toy yet. But we got some prototype shots, not of the Megatron version, but of the Dreadwing head remold of the Megatron toy. And there was a shot from the back, and it put so many of my fears to rest. This guy, you know, he has solid legs. He has a solid backbone. So I'm getting more hopeful. This Japanese version adds one main thing, which is they inked in bright purple all of the panel lines, which is what he looks like in the comic book. Now, this is something I'll pay a premium for because that's, like, super accuracy. And that's a paint job I don't want to try even doing because you'd have to, like, ink in all the panel lines in solid white first to do that yourself, at least as far as I understand it. So I already put in a pre-order on this two-pack at HLJ because, number one, I can cancel it. But number two, I'm particularly taken by their deco choices on this Megatron toy. That and, you know, it, apparently the Megatron toy is pretty small from all reports at Toy Fair, but at least it sounds like as just a toy on my desk, it'll be okay. So I'd love to have it premiumed up. I just hope that the curse of me buying Takara painted deluxes remains broken. Like, my United curse seemed to have broken when I got some of the new generation's toys, and I hope it stays that way because I want this Megatron to turn out well. But, yeah, did either of you guys hear about Megatron getting his panel lines inked in, or is this the first you're hearing about it?
Just with that, with those pictures that showed up.
Yeah.
It looks like for the jet, there may be more lines out on the outboard of the engine wings, or of the, like, the panels that end up on the back of his arms. It looks like there's some lines, or that might just be the fold lines in the transformation.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, those are the guns. The halves of the cannon that go on the back of his arms.
Ah.
That's what that is. Yeah, those are the panel lines on that.
So. Also, it's worth mentioning the release date on this guy, I think, is sometime in the late fall. Something like October.
Yeah.
So it's a ways off. We're not. This isn't one I can just, like, take a look at it at the conventions, because they'll all be done by then. Omegas, how are you feeling about this two-pack?
Hang on a second. And pre-ordered.
Ah, good. Problem solved.
Jeez, the bad thing is I've got the American set pre-ordered too.
It's all right, you know, you get your side-by-side picture.
Yeah. I'm a reviewer. I can justify it. I don't have a problem.
I really like how this panel lining showcases that they actually did sculpt in all of the copious, ludicrous M's that are all over his body.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite kind of dumb part of this design, because I love this design, and one of the things I like about it that's less defensible is the fact that Megatron's new body is just covered in M's. Like, it's a weird, like, odd, like, almost retro-futuristic take on the G2 thing of just writing their names on their bodies. So I think that these actual, the actual toys, North American versions, are going to be out in a couple months, so I'm probably going to get my hands on that version first, but this is the kind of thing that will just get me to double buy and double dip on an import when it looks that good. Anyway, those are our new picture picks. Speaking of Takara Tomy Generations, thanks to the Tokyo Toy Show, we got a scad load of information and a couple of pictures, too. So I thought we could just kind of run through some of these bullet points. We were just talking about the Generations line. The IDW Deluxe Bumblebee is getting his own singular release as Gold Bug with gold paint and a blue head. Coming out in November alongside a two-pack of Hoist and Trail Cutter. So they're doing their own thing with the Deluxes. I think it's kind of interesting. I had not yet looked to see if there was a good picture of their Gold Bug, because at their booth at Tokyo Toy Show, Takara Tomy had a lot of American toys just standing in for some of what they were talking about. So I don't think there was a picture of their Gold Bug.
Not in what we have coverage. The only thing I see of Bumblebee is the Target Master version.
Yeah, and that's coming out. They're doing the Legends Target Master guys as quote-unquote four-packs. So there's a Bumblebee Optimus Roller Blazemaster one coming out in a couple months, I think. And they just confirmed that Megatron, Chop Shop, Starscream, and Waspinator are coming out in their own four-pack. And then Sandstorm is getting his own singular release. And we finally got some confirmation about what their Metroplex is going to be like. He's going to have a chrome face. The large ramps are going to be G1 white in battle station mode, and he comes with two red guns. So there's two red guns, and there's a bunch of different paint thingies on him as well. Some guy got Metroplex already through connections he's not going to talk about. And, oh, in that Metroplex picture, there's a photograph of Bumblebee right behind him. Huh.
Or he will get those photos.
Yeah. No, this happened a couple weeks ago, I thought. Like, remember the guy who got the Metroplex? He said he got it through sources he can't name, and he shared how the toy works.
Oh. I guess I was thinking about the picture that will show up in a few days.
I don't know what you're talking about. Don't break the canon. Don't break the canon.
I'm sorry, I'm sick.
So American Metroplex comes with like a Titanic sticker sheet. Apparently. Well, confirmedly. So I'm curious if that's the same thing for this Takara Tomy version, or if they're just going to sit there and encore deco all those stickers onto him. Which would make it a bigger draw for me, getting the Japanese one then. Because I just don't really enjoy stickers all that much. Except for some rare cases. So now we know more about Metroplex in Japan. So all that Generations news. I mean, a lot of it is kind of just like they're going to do it with shinier paint and in more 2-packs and 4-packs. But did anything in there kind of surprise you guys? Maybe the Goldbug approach on Bumblebee or anything about Metroplex?
I can understand Goldbug because they also have another Bumblebee out and they're not trying to flood their market with Bumblebees.
Hmm. That's why Takara went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Not enough Bumblebees.
Yep. But beyond that,
Just a big, Japan. Omegas, anything from Generations that you wanted to pick out as a particular thing to mention, or is it all kind of just more Japan for you? Oh, we lost him.
Did we actually? Yeah, we
did.
Yeah,
we did. We actually lost him. He was like, Japan! Just bail that. Just jump ship. I came here to talk about Transformers, not to talk about Japan. Well, Aaron.
Yeah.
Until he comes back. Let's just, for the listeners, run through the bullet points on Transformers. Go.
Okay.
So this is a lot more stuff that's kind of just answering a few questions here and there of stuff we might have already expected. Like, I think a lot of people expected their version of the deluxe smokescreen to be show accurate in some way, which apparently it is. We got these big sheets of solicitation pictures, and I'm guessing it's derived from that or something someone said that. We've got this confirmation that their smokescreen... Oh, there's a picture of it there. Their smokescreen is going to be more show accurate.
More show accurate than what? Like, their previous smokescreen was? Or the smokescreen that we got?
I think than the one that we got.
Because the smokescreen that we got was pretty darn close, wasn't it?
In a very general sense, a lot of his color placement, especially in robot mode, was very wrong. And he has no red in robot mode.
Yeah.
So they might have just fixed that up. Because the sculpt was good. It was all there.
Right.
I guess I was thinking
more sculpt, less paint, but...
Yeah. And their version of Hunter Ratchet is going to be in a movie Ratchet deco, which is cool. You know, given that ours kind of ended up just kind of looking like he's made of a sort of nut-based ice cream.
Yeah.
I think they ended up with a better deal there. And I love it when other Ratchets call back to movie Ratchet.
Right.
Like, that's kind of... That's kind of a cool thing to throw back to, because Movie Ratchet didn't really do anything. Aside from, like, resurrect Jolt or something like that, or tell Jolt to resurrect bits of Jetfire.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a cool throwback.
That was a very important role.
Yeah, Ratchet would just say something, and someone who never said anything else would do something, and we'd never see them again. You know, it's a good time. We also got some confirmations on... the big one is the their version of Abominus, Cyberverse Abominus, Goradora. All five of the Predacons in that box set have been redecoed. So Hunger is orange and black, Windrazer is gray and blue, Twin Strike is green, Blade is red and white, and Rippersnapper is purple. I have no idea where the color placements in there are coming from, other than perhaps they just thought those colors looked better.
I think that would be just fine.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to make sense of an eyesore, just be like, no, these colors look better with this crazy big combination. Looking at the combiner as the combined thing and not necessarily the individual modes.
Well, there is a very small shot from which we got these color reports, and it looks just... It actually looks more or less just as desynchronized as our version.
Take away hope, that's all I had left.
Hey, you know, that's what I'm here for. I'm happy about that, because I would love a good excuse to just get another version of Abominus. And the Target one wasn't really doing it for me, as far as good excuses. The Target one was me making up reasons to want to get it. What else? We got colors on the other Dragon robots, I think. Their release of Ultimate Predaking, Dragatron Final Form, is going to have a very Beast Wars Transmetal Dragon Megatron look.
With the dark red. All of that paint shiny dark red?
It looks like it.
Oh, so pretty.
This makes me feel like I want to get that version and skip our Ultimate Predaking.
Yeah, depending on prices and employment, that sounds like a great idea.
A long-term goal, because I'm guessing this thing's going to be like 8,000 yen or something.
Yeah.
So have fun with that, guys. This was another bit of news for people who are patient. If you haven't decided to go in on either of the Go trios, the Samurai or the Ninja Shinobi guys, gift sets of them are going to be coming out in October. No new colors, just all three will be in a box. And at a bunch of American retailers, that is resulting in like $50 of savings.
Yeah.
So if you're ordering from Japan, it seems like the American retailers are charging for the gift sets what it costs to order the three separate from Japan right now. So I'm not sure what the Japanese retail is on the gift sets, and if there are savings there. But if you are a patient sort, you know, bear that in mind, that in October you're going to get a whole nother go at I just realized.
Go. Did you? I hope that was entirely accidental.
That was completely accidental, and that makes it feel worse. Also, apparently, this is kind of funny. They're gonna, I guess, redeco some bot shots to put the Samurai team from Go into the Be Cool line, which is their version of bot shots. That's kind of neat. That's some cool crossplay there.
I guess if that's their line, then that's their line that they gotta support.
Yeah. And it's a fun idea, I think, because Be Cool has that weird thing where none of them are actually Transformers.
Right.
So maybe these three guys are gonna be the only Transformers in the line. And this would be hilarious if they're actually the same Samurai guys, and they're just running around Japanese canon, just showing up and combining and yelling a lot. Anyway,
then you know there's going to be the fan that'll be upset that the Be Cools don't combine.
Well,
I mean, what the heck?
You can combine bot shots. You just use rubber bands, you know. That's how you do it.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I heard a bird on my shoulder tell me that Omegas might be back from the dead. So let's see if he's back from the dead. Aaron, is the summoning ritual working?
Yeah. Oh, I feel better now. Oh.
Oh man, I just made you cough up work? An Omegas Prime.
Is that working? I don't think that's working.
I don't know. I'm seeing these. Oh wait, is he back? Hello? Well, he's
look. I only
staring
have so much
at me.
I only have so much phlegm I can cough up here. You got to give me like 12 seconds to recharge.
Could you have manifested vocal cords for him at least? Oh, no, there he goes. He's disappearing again. Well, that was our Omegas Prime check-in. we'll keep you guys updated as the situation... Oh, wait, he's back! So, the Omegas Prime check-in number 2 coming up. Anyway, that's also a whole bunch of the Go news from Tokyo Toy Show. The other thing being that there's some weird developments in the Cyberverse end of Transformers Go. There he goes again. All right, Omegas Prime check-in number 2. The weird thing being they're going to reuse a Legends toy from Animated to put Groove into the Legends line. And I want to know who had the idea, because it's a clever idea, but why?
Because Groove?
Well, someone out there likes Groove, right?
There's one guy that just filled out the survey 80 times.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically the Legends animated Prowl done up in G1 Prowl-ish colors. Because Groove and Prowl were both, you know, police vehicles.
Police motorcycles.
Well, police motorcycle, yeah. Police car thing. And then they did a G1 style animated Prowl in Japan, which looks pretty cool.
I have that. That's one that's managed to be saved so far from emergency sales.
Yeah, so they're doing that, which is interesting. They're also giving Legends Beachcomber his first Japanese single release, not in a multi-pack. And apparently, I caught wind on Twitter, I didn't look myself, but apparently they painted in his goggles real bright.
Ooh.
So, hey, you know, why not? And then there was also news that the Beast Hunters Legends figures of Soundwave and Air Viacon will be coming out over there. Soundwave's going to be more muted and gray, while the Jet Viacon that Japan's getting is going to be more black, whereas ours is kind of purple. And that just means that now I have to army build both.
Yep.
You're here with me, right, Aaron? We're both going to ride this coach, right?
Sure.
Importing Legends toys to army build them.
Yeah, that surely won't kill what little finances I have.
Yeah. Omega's Prime check-in, are you alive? Nope. That actually caused him to get disconnected. Okay.
Look, my throat can only handle so much summoning ritual here.
Aaron, all I want is for you to create a reasonable facsimile of our currently missing in action podcaster. And I'm just asking for you to manifest him using the fluids already existing in your throat. I'm not asking you to do crazy magic like create, you know, matter out of thin air, because that's just ludicrous. I just want you to cough up a phlegm version of our friend so we can continue talking to him.
Oh, but how could you tell a difference? Oh, sorry.
Oh, hey! Vegas Prime, are you back?
I hope.
How's the weather?
Fine.
Is it Florida?
I was afraid you dropped off again.
It just...
Oh, wait, you didn't just drop off, did you? Because that happened like 3 times. Aaron, what did you do?
I hit mute. I didn't know it would mute your microphone.
Look, you just disappeared again. God damn it.
He's blaming Skype. I blame allergies.
I'm blaming you.
That's okay.
Whatever. This all started when you caught your allergies.
I should have been thinking about the show before my own well-being. I apologize.
That's what you get for rubbing all that pollen on your face. Oh, God. I think I'm going to get sick, though. I'm really starting to feel it. Right, you know, right between your eyes?
Uh-huh.
That pressure right between your eyes?
Yeah. I have first-hand experience with that pressure right between the eyes right now.
Actually. Yeah. Oh, I just dropped some. Somehow you just, this is what we get for time traveling, you know?
I know.
This is what we get for playing God, for dabbling in forces man was not meant to dabble in.
That's why the Federation has the Temporal Prime Directive.
Since when?
They say they do, but the shows never do.
Did they tell that to the J.J. Abrams universe?
Well, see, that was Spock trying to fix the problem and attempting to... shut up!
No, you see, that's my favorite part of the J.J. Abrams universe, is... I'm not going to say what it is, but in that new movie, they totally had this throwaway line of like, well, this is why everything's different, and I was like, ha! Yeah. That's kind of funny, actually, because that makes a weird sort of sense in Star Trek logic.
That's all right. I got back into Star Trek Online, couldn't recover my like 4 or 5 year old, 3 year old, 4 year old account, so I had to start all over.
Oh,
and they do.
Sorry,
they do plenty good in explaining why they're still in the old universe.
I kind of, when you said that reminded me of the good old days of trying to recover accounts from Cryptic that I heard friends go through with Champions and stuff.
Yeah, it was like, so I tried all of the old. Passwords that I would have had 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
None of those worked. So I figured, oh, okay. And like none of the combinations of username or email or that with any of the passwords, I like got timed out or over, you know, too many tries a couple times and trying to do all the various combinations where I had like the matrix of things written down so I wasn't accidentally doing the same thing twice. So I said, ah, forget it. I'll just see if I can log in as Axsmith again, and it wouldn't let me log in as Axsmith. So it was just like, ah, screw it. I'll start a new one and put in two service tickets that nobody ever has read. So
I just found out there's a spell check in Skype chat. So I just asked Omegas if he can hear us before it discos. Omegas, can you tell me about the discos?
No, because the discos keep dropping.
Well, you know, that's what you get for mixing your dubstep in with your disco. Yeah. That was a reference to dropping this. So, welcome back.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the longest we've been able to hold a conversation since the disconnect started, so fingers crossed.
I have no idea.
We kind of just kept running with it. So, the only thing you really missed was Transformers Go bullet points. So, did you have anything in particular about the Transformers Go reveals at Tokyo Toy Show that stuck out to you?
Does any of them let me kill the electric company that can't get their wires correct?
If you get enough Abominuses, eventually you can make an Abominus that you can actually use to wipe out a small town.
I do want that Abominus because it's the closest thing we're probably going to get to the Monstructor I want out of these things.
Is there Monstructor in that? Because I've been trying to figure out where
there's a few colors that are similar, but not enough. I wouldn't call it an homage. It's just they went in a different direction for some reason.
Yeah, because I like the fact that they just shook up all five colors just for the hell of it, because it makes it a much bigger draw than being just translucent. But yeah, that's a. I want to know also what the packaging looks like on that one, because Go has very pretty blue boxes for everything. And because I think you cut out as soon as I asked the question, was there anything else you wanted to add about the Generations stuff that was revealed?
No, I can't even get back to it.
Well, basically, a whole lot of toys with shiny paint are coming out.
Yay, shiny paint!
That is the correct response.
Yeah. You know, once upon a time, there was a cynicism running through the fandom about that shiny paint in almost reaction to the sheer love the shiny paint was getting. I kind of like that we're just getting this constant cycle of shiny paint showing up in Japan every now and then. This does leave us with...
It could be worse. You know, there aren't random chrome parts.
Yeah. I think it's better than Henkei. And
yeah. Go look at your Henkei Dinobot and tell me the shiny paint's bad.
And I think that this is also hopefully going to have just, from what I've seen in Generations, just I'm not going to have the build quality issues I hit with so many United toys. So, feeling good. Cyber Gundam had a few more little bullet points. The Masterpiece toys were there. There was a display for GT Megatron. They showed off all kinds of combined modes of Kenzan, Jinbu, and Gano. And, a whole bunch of Generations toys had Hasbro versions standing in. And there was an RC car that transformed, and no one knows what it is. There's a silver one and a red one, and it had a banner over it that said, either apparently Robot Lab or Omnibot. So, I'm actually really interested to see where that goes, because right now there is a guy in Japan who came up with an RC transforming robot. And, this one, there's a picture of it, and it appears to have separate legs. And separate legs on a radio-controlled transforming robot car makes me extremely interested. Have you guys seen the picture? Because if not, I can send you a link to it.
Yeah, it looks kind of like the head's way back, but...
Yeah.
I have hopes that that means it's going to have, like, a walk function.
If it can roll in vehicle mode and walk, then...
Oh, no.
I'm in.
Yeah, I could see it doing, what was it, Sony's Asimo? That was the early walking robot that they've had, like, they've had 40 different versions of it now that can do a whole lot more, but the first version had a big slick foot that kind of did a glide step where the leg came up off the ground but never terribly far.
Yeah.
And it would rock a whole lot, but if that's now in, like, consumer-grade transforming car technology, that would be something awesome.
Also, guys, there's a smartphone sitting in front of it. What if it's controlled by a programmable app?
Oh, yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, it's right. Oh, no. Because that's not going to be cheap, ever. Damn it. I thought it had a mono leg this whole time. I didn't take a closer look at the picture. The only silly thing about it is it has movie Bumblebee's head.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a Camaro. It kind of, does it have, is that the right hood? Is that the right grill? I mean, and if so, why is it not yellow?
Kinda.
I don't know. Maybe this is a concession to maybe get Hasbro to bite on it some and import it.
Maybe. Maybe these are proof of concept. I'm going to send you guys a link to a shot of the red one. These look like these might just be really early prototype-y things. Maybe they're not even meant to be something being released. Like,
maybe.
Oh, it's next to a phone, too.
The phone thing is what's making me go, like, oh, God. Cause
yeah, the phone in both of them is the thing that...
Programmable smartphone-controlled RC-transforming robot cars.
This is how Skynet starts.
It's like a whole bunch of words that just sound beautiful next to each other.
It's how it starts.
I know. It's a little army of robot cars. It's come shuffling up the hallway en masse.
Hits the stairs and curses.
They all fall down and break. Skynet's plan is destroyed forever. That's the kind of plan that the Skynet of Terminator 3 and 4 would have, and I like that version of Skynet. Because that's like the version of Skynet who became an incompetent TV villain.
Yeah.
But in like a really endearing way. I can't keep succeeding with this time travel plot. I know. I'll send more of them back in time after the fact anyway.
Why not send a second and third immediately after the first one failed?
That's my favorite thing about Terminator 3 and Salvation Skynet, is that it has full mastery over time travel, but no concept as to the easy logistics of time travel.
Yeah.
Like, well, I sent one in 89, so I can't send any before that. I better send one in 99. I better send one in 2002. I mean, pfft. It's only sensible. Poor Skynet. Anyway, that's some coverage of the Tokyo. I keep saying the Takara Toy Show, the Tokyo Toy Show stuff. We're gonna take a quick break and then come back with some what we got this week in this just fully temporally demented episode of WTF at TFW. Hopefully, we'll all be here when we get back. Hopefully, we'll all be the same versions of ourselves. I mean, we're in a plural sector. I've been listening to some Dirk Maggs Hitchhiker's Guide. And there's a police car coming. Perfect. I guess I'm done. I'll see you guys in a few years.
Oh, hello. I was just working on a multi-million-dollar lawsuit for one of my clients. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, a lawsuit sounds good, Saul, but who can I sue? Who can you sue? Try police departments, libraries, construction companies, school officials, cleaning services, financial institutions, local and international, your neighbors, your family members, your church, synagogue, or other religious institution, your employers' customers, suppliers, companies in other countries, companies that made the drugs that were turned into the drugs that you took. The possibilities are limitless. But Saul, how can I sue these people and institutions? I have no grounds. Do me a favor. Let me answer that question in person. Better call Saul.
I totally just wittily counted this back in as a response to Aaron blowing his nose.
So classy.
Yeah. So, Aaron, I meant to ask you, are you all up in this Animal Crossing thing?
Nope.
That's three of us. Okay.
No, I've thought about it, but aiming for is keeping me from spending anything.
As long as
be eating ramen a whole lot.
As long as the time ghost is there, if you thought about it, there's a chance you're going to be in there. I was telling Omegas, Omegas thinks Pokemon will be his jam, but I mean, looking at my Twitter feed, all it's going to take is one person with, you know, one little dab of poison on the end of their umbrella, just, you know, tapping them on the leg. Ooh, that was a pinprick. Who did that? The next day, I want to play Animal Crossing.
Wake up in a dark alley with a 3DS and a village in my hand.
Yeah, Tom Nook just standing over you. The first one's free. He drops an umbrella at your feet and just walks away.
Yeah.
Well, no, I get that creepy villager from Smash Brothers staring at me.
I tried Animal Crossing on an N64 way back. I was the worst neighbor. All I did was destroy Jacob's village. It left this trail of destruction. Then I'd walk around and hit everyone with my bug net until I got bored of it. Then I never played it again. That's my Animal Crossing story. Now we're going to talk about our What We Got This Week story. So I want to open up by asking you, Aaron, did you get any Transformers this last week?
Nada.
Aw. Hey, ask me if I got any.
Hey, did you got any?
Nope. I almost did. You know what I almost did today because I really needed to buy a toy?
What did you almost did today because you really needed to buy a toy?
Is that the comic shop? They had the Legends Target Masters, Optimus and Bumblebee, $17 plus tax apiece.
If you would have bought them, the first thing I would have done at TFCon was smack you upside the head.
I was sitting there looking at them, going like, well, I sure could use a Transformer right about now. And then I left after a very long time wandering around the store.
Were you wandering around the store trying to convince yourself yes or no, or was there other reason for wondering?
There was other stuff. They had, like, the Dark Knight Returns Batman made of He-Man toys, and I wanted to see what it looked like, and they had the Dark Side made out of He-Man toys. Alright, well, Omegas Prime, it's all up to you to keep the podcast audience happy and believing that we still care. Did you get any Transformers?
Oh god, the pressure. I'm sorry to say, yes, I did.
Good, okay, thank goodness.
We have an on-topic session.
I could feel the stop buttons. I could feel the thumb hovering over them.
It's like the dramatic countdown with the wire. Blue, red, blue, red.
Yeah, well, what'd you get? It'd be great if it's just a Legend toy.
I did go small on most of my stuff this week.
All right.
No, I've got some things that are talkable. I wanted to try out our Creo combiners despite all the little iffy things I've heard about them. Mm-hmm. So, picked up the Combaticons since they seem to always be the ones with the most variety amongst them.
Yeah, and I've heard they're the best. I still haven't built my Combaticons.
Well, I got to look at it and I was like, okay, the Aerobots all look the same in one mode. You know, the Predacons all use the same head. At least the same helmet. So, yeah, as per usual, Combaticons are very unique. And I quite like them.
Excellent.
Yeah, they served me pretty well. I like the little individual ones. Brawl in particular has this really doofy little tank mode that is unconvincing, but at the same time, I really like how it looks, and I'm not sure how.
Well, that's the microchanger charm, you know? Like, it'll click with you or not, because some of them will just have it. They'll have that alt mode that's... It's totally a minifigure, but it's trying so hard, you just can't hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it. They do need to figure out some other way of doing helicopters, though.
Yeah, they all have the Mirage helmet, right?
Well, they all have the Mirage helmet, and Vortex is just laying on his belly. Like, they're really... I think the one transformation element, you add the tail rudder. That's about it.
Hmm.
But the rest are nice and solid. Onslaught gets an enormous amount of parts to make his truck mode, and it comes out to a very nice truck mode.
Yeah, that's the leaders, they get this kind of bulked out set of bits added to them. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, it works for him. I think my only issue was that Brawl is unusually happy and Swindle is unusually grumpy.
Hmm. Is it feasible to switch their faces, or do the visor colors not match together?
Well, one's got a visor, one's got eyes.
Ah.
So aside from the color, yeah, its shape's different too.
Quip.
Yeah. I didn't like how they want you to use Onslaught's head and helmet in order to form Bruticus's, and I didn't really go with that either.
Hmm.
But that's easier. You got plenty of heads to pick from.
Yeah, and I still got to actually order some of Wulong T's Shapeways stuff. He made a whole lot of parts to enhance those combiners. Ooh. Like new hands, new heads. Character-specific hands and heads. Mm. Wulong toys.
Mm. Well, right now, I've got them combined. I'm happy to say all the joints on mine are very nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everything holds together pretty well. There's some parts on them that are too tight, actually. Yeah, he makes a neat little combiner.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that the torso peg tolerances are just overall improved on the next wave of combiners, because they feel already a bit better on that last wave of microchanger blind packs. So hopefully we can add some more fuel to the fire of whose building block toys are the best.
Yes, because that's such competition.
Well, yeah, I don't know, I just, man, like, you put up one video with Lego and you say something about Mega Bloks in it, that just generates 12 comments immediately. Doesn't matter what you say.
You're playing with fire doing that.
I know I am, that's the best part. And I have all these things in my backlog now that I learned, like, I can call them Legos. And I can call them Lego Bloks.
Lego Bloks is appropriate, Legos is not.
That's why I like Legos the most, because it's shorter. I got a 2-stud Lego. I plug it onto the other Legos.
Hey, don't you start talking that trash, because, I mean, you saw my pictures from Brickworld.
I know. And I've been to a Lego store by myself.
Yeah.
I am the Daywalker. Anyway.
Freaking Lego freaks.
Yeah.
So, on to things that are unmistakably not Lego.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Got the new Generations Legends.
I would have laughed if you said Creo.
Sorry, only one Creo set this week. No, I got the Optimus and the Roller, Bumblebee and Blazemaster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of scared of them, given Aaron's opinion.
I'm super interested, though, to hear your opinion, because we got some feedback on Aaron's opinion of people who had other opinions, which is just leading to me staring at those toys when they're a stupid price and going, like, I wonder if I should get one to see what it's like.
I will say, I think Optimus is fantastic. Like, seriously, dude, he has his issues. Like, the feet do not transform away. I kind of wish there was some way of flipping them back or something. Because they're just kind of stick up. And, yeah, there is the chest thing, which... It doesn't bug me so much, because if the chest stayed open the whole time, his shoulders would be at a weird angle. I just wish it could peg in. And it's obvious, you know, the engineering could have been there for that. It wouldn't have been too hard. But as a figure himself, I mean, really good articulation... And he gets ball joints on all of his limbs. The head rotates. He gets a torso rotation. So, very poseable. The way I describe him, especially the transformation's very much like the previous Legends G1 Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Just upscaled.
And so, that's got me drawn to it, because I love that Legends G1 Prime. That was a really beautiful little toy that was really easy to ignore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a really nice one. This one has the added benefit of what little shell kibble is left from the front of his vehicle mode does tuck up behind his back, so he looks nice and clean.
Mm.
And he stacks up to the Cyberverse Commanders, too. He's just as tall, so I don't really think you're missing out on anything size-wise, either.
Hmm, interesting.
Ignore Roller.
Yeah, I mean, everyone who's had really nice things to say didn't really say anything about the Target Masters.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make it look like a gun, you have to put another gun on top of it.
Right. He's got weird issues besides that. I mean, okay, he's... Like, okay, for transformation, he is simpler than a Micromaster. Which is kind of bizarre. I don't understand his wheels. Because he's got these two nice pinned wheels in the front. The middle ones are molded in. I can understand that. Those rear wheels, oh my god. It's the two wheels plus one axle as one piece type wheel. It's a level of cheap I never expected out of a Transformer.
I just think that trying to work those Target Masters in, it's even with all the good things I've heard said about them, I think the Target Masters are what, they were a well-intentioned thing that sound like they have brought down the toys they're packed with, just in terms of the package.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying nothing bad about the actual Commander-sized toy, but it sounds like Roller and Blazemaster didn't add much and ended up taking away a little bit.
Luckily on Prime, I don't think it's that noticeable, especially because he does come with his own rifle. So he doesn't need Roller to have a weapon.
Mm.
So I think Roller's pretty much ignorable. I'd say Blazemaster did come out better.
Okay.
Because it's a slight one extra step to the transformation, which at this point I'll give
it. Two steps!
Yeah!
Dun, dun,
we're pushing the limits now. More importantly, though, he does form a much nicer-looking weapon. It doesn't just look like him stretched out.
Mm-hmm.
And he does get the added benefit of being able to use the helicopter blade as a spinner weapon on the other arm.
And that gives me, I mean, with Bumblebee also, the cool thing about Bumblebee and Blazemaster is at least there's the Action Master tie-in with the helicopter. Because Bumblebee had, like, the silly helicopter backpack.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to mess with those toys. I just wish I could find them at retail, because finding them at comic book prices is just not, it's like not even an option.
Right. Well, see, where I disagree with Aaron on Optimus, I actually do agree on Bumblebee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bumblebee's got some issues.
Oh, because his transformation looks so interesting.
It kind of is.
I
mean, that's what drew me to him. It's a bummer if it doesn't result in something that's, you know, nice, but
it's got a, he's got a little bit to him. Jeez, I don't know.
I mean, bear in mind, I'm coming at this totally sideways, so you don't have to play nice with any opinions
well,
on the thing.
He doesn't get comparing him to Optimus, he doesn't get the torso rotation, he doesn't get the neck rotation. His shoulders have this really weird, like three hinges in order to get them to work, and They're so far out, they just kind of look like they're floating off of his body no matter what.
I mean, if I can find them for like $10 like I'm supposed to, then I'm probably picking them up anyway because I like the look of the robot mode, but I'm really happy I didn't walk out of that comic store with one. Aaron would have hurt me.
Yeah. No, Bumblebee gets me on the wheels too because he's got these little mushroom capped wheel that just peg on. I've knocked them off accidentally. I really don't think I should be able to knock wheels off a Transformer easily.
Well, you know, it depends how experienced it. Wait, what were we talking about?
What?
I was making a thinly veiled sex joke.
Good job.
Yeah, patting myself on the back.
So, yeah, I'd say Optimus is a definite grab. Bumblebee, not so much. I'm looking forward to seeing if this is one of those gimmicks that works way better the second time around with the second wave.
I'm really starting to feel like I want to, like, I was thinking of just waiting for the fancier painted Japanese versions. And I'm kind of starting to think, like, should I do that so that at least I get the best version of that Optimus toy? Or does that just mean I'm overpaying for one really good toy out of three? Or...
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I'm happy to keep, like, I really do like that I've heard, like, not like polarized opinions, just really varying experiences with those toys. So at least it's not like a cut and dry case of, like, you know, Bumblebee sucks. Because I've heard of a range. Makes me excited to mess with them. But it's also really tempered me from, you know, going out of my way.
Right. Moving on, my friend Aaron, not this Aaron, this one's just a coworker.
Hey, you're not his friend, Aaron, get out.
I'll undo the summoning spell. You need me to do that?
Yeah, swallow. Be the guy who swallows the gob. because it never feels good. I've done it. Ugh. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
You get that nugget and you think, oh, it's nothing. Yeah. And then you feel it all the way down.
Yeah, you feel it, like, past your stomach then.
Yeah. Why can you even feel anything there?
Psychological. Pure psychology. Your body's like, no, you shouldn't do that. No, no, no. I'm going to make you think weird stuff's going on now.
Oh, I don't want to talk about this anymore, Omegas. What were we talking about?
A friend of mine sent me a Prime Bulkhead. By that, I mean the original main line, not first edition nor deluxe.
Oh, the one that everyone just kind of walked away from who got the first edition.
Yeah, pretty much.
How is he? Because I heard he's okay.
He is actually not bad.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. He has this really weird kind of, he looks very flat in person type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a very different transformation to him. So, you know, kind of like I am with my Starscreams, I do feel like, despite all the bulkheads I have, they all feel like different toys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's got nice articulation to him. He's got a nice look. I do like the articulated jaw. That helps me.
I forgot that one did that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, I remember for a little while that was the draw that one had for me, but I just never saw one for a price I wanted to pay.
Mm. So, and the weird way he works is that he just kind of unfolds and flattens out in this way, because in vehicle mode, he's like slightly bigger than like the early 2000 deluxes. Mm-hmm. So you don't quite see where the Voyager price point is, but he gets big very quickly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And, did you get the Powerizer version?
Yeah.
So what's your take on that thing that's connected to him? Like
the lump of plastic that unfolds into something?
Like, what is it? Like, can you...
I don't know. And you know what confuses me more about this mace thing? Is it there's a taillight painted on.
Okay. Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
It doesn't hide on him in vehicle mode. You can't, like, swap the taillights out or anything.
Yeah, maybe it's supposed to be, like, that's part of what it transforms from.
Except you stick it on the car mode anyway.
On the top
details,
of the car
details.
Mode. Like, I have to pretend he's like a Google camera car or something.
Like, I think second only to Starscream, who I believe was from the same wave. That was one of the most bewildering Powerizer weapons I saw.
I will give this one credit. At least there's an action gimmick in that the mace spins when you unleash it.
Hey, spins.
Yay, spinny. So at least they work something in?
Yeah.
I'll give him credit for that. It makes me wish, because the light is in this really weird spot where it's only lighting up like a quarter of the mace.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost makes, it really makes me wish this was like a Gatling gun gimmick. To where, I was thinking, like, if this thing unfolds and you got like the spinning Gatling gun.
Oh,
and there's
rather
like only,
than being a mace, oh. You mean?
Rather than being a mace, yeah. That way you,
yeah.
And with one corner of it lighting up, that's the side that's firing because it's a hot barrel and all that.
I can see that. Hot barrel.
I mean,
I'm having one of those days.
Apparently. No, it's just a neat little action gimmick on something that looked like absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and whenever they've done one of those weapons that has a spinning bit, like, you know, Dark of the Moon Ratchet's saw blade thing, like, at least it has, like, a nice kinetic payoff.
Yeah.
So... Oh, well, that's another one for the bulkhead wall.
Yeah, they're growing.
I forgot, did you get Beast Hunter bulkhead yet?
Yep.
All right, well, now you got to get Hunter bulkhead from Japan. I almost said from Japan's version.
From Japan.
Wow. Honey, go get me that book of coupons. I'm going to go see that new Man of Steel Superman movie.
Got this new toy out of Nippon.
I should just start calling them Nippon and see if anyone notices. Nihong. Anyway, yeah, continue.
So he's... If you got the first edition, he's no improvement. He's, you know, he's just going to be there. But he's not a bad toy on his own.
Hmm.
Moving on to something a little bit older. a toy that just came in 4 days from now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got myself a Transmetal Waspinator, a mold I never managed to get for some reason.
I was in that position till a few years ago when I just bought him at a convention because I had bought nothing else at convention, and I was like, how many years have I wanted this toy?
Yeah, in my case, a friend of mine has, he checks Craigslist every now and then, trying to find stuff that I might be interested in, just let me know. And one of the things he found was this lot of Beast Wars toys that weren't open yet, and he said, well, the guy told me these prices were better than eBay. And they were, by like $2. And one of them was, yeah, one of them was Waspinator, which happened to be like the Fox Kids yellow one. And that's the one I wanted, because, hey, look, it's a Transmetal that has realistic colors. Apart from the green wings, but besides that.
Yeah.
And it actually looked really, really cool. I liked it way better than the black and red. So, unfortunately, he got me looking on eBay for these things, and I managed to find one pretty cheap in the same state, so, why not?
Oh, how do you, actually, I'm going to ask you the big question, because it's everyone in our position who didn't have one has this question. So how is the F-15 mode?
There's a lot of bug parts hanging off the bottom.
Hmm.
I think that's the easy part, though. Actual opinion, I think it's the best vehicle mode the Transmetal's pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's not a snowboard. It's not wings just popping out of the hips, and it's not wheels that just fold down. Like, there's a cockpit and tail fins and actual wing structure. It looks... Okay, aside from the bug head on top and all the legs sticking out the bottom, you know, it looks like a jet. Like, it looks like a legitimate triple changer.
Yeah, I love the silhouette of it, because... As like, I think that the silhouette is what results in what you just described, like that it actually has a vehicle form to it.
Yeah.
Like, despite, you know, clearly being a weird bug robot wasp thing, it's got that aspect of like it is still a robot,
right?
Vehicle, not just a rhino with treads.
Yeah. Because I remember the jet mode off of my Pterosaur, which was slightly change his wings and stick a rocket out his butt.
Yeah.
That was the jet mode.
Or Cheetor.
Oh, yeah.
Open panels. Okay. That's it.
Well, Megatron just kind of opened his hips up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey, look, I've got VTOLs. They're here, now they're here. I fly.
Yeah. That's cool. I love it when people get a Beast Wars toy that they've always been eyeing but never really got around to buying.
Yeah.
Always a good story.
And he looks cool in the other modes, too. I wish his hips were had a little bit more freedom, but beyond that, I love the bug mode on him, too. The bug mode just looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Though, strangely enough, wait, all this time I got one that was completely unopened in trilingual package, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Because this came from Hasbro, Mexico. And somehow still got one with screwed up paint.
Excellent. Standards. Standards must be maintained.
I don't think I can take him back to Walmart at this point.
You should just try. You should go to a Mexican Walmart. Make the journey. Just see what they do. You could make a documentary out of that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
All right. That's cool. Did anything else come your way on the Transformers end?
One last thing of note. I've completed my Beast Hunters Terrorcons.
Oh! How did you do that? Did you order them online?
For some weird reason, I was on BBTS at like 2 in the morning, and apparently at around midnight, someone's pre-order had canceled.
I think that's what happened with me.
So it's like, it just like magic. I just, out of boredom, I checked it. And it's like, oh, actually in stock. They must have gotten a new stock in yesterday. Click, click. Oh, no, it's sold out now. Never mind.
Yeah. So So, remind me, which one specifically was it that you just got
hold these of? Were, well, I got the three from the New Wave, Blight, Razor Wind, and Ripper Snapper.
Oh, okay, so you hadn't found any of them.
No.
Okay. So, how do you feel about them?
Let's see, I'd say individually, they make really nice Legion-class toys.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Oh, no. Waspinator is hiding Ripper Snapper. Never mind. Panic for a second.
I only ordered two! Been hallucinating this whole time.
No, you had two legs. I know it. No. There's different levels I like all of them at, really.
Yeah.
I think all of them have their little issues, but all of them have little ways of making it up. Because, like, you got Ripper Snapper here, who the beast mode doesn't quite lock into place when you transform him. You can see where things are supposed to fit, but there's nothing really pegging them in and securing it.
Yeah.
But he's got the best-looking robot, because it's a nice, like, chunky, kind of beefy robot to him. And he's a shark dragon.
Yeah. It took me a little while to figure out, like, what his alt mode was actually supposed to look like, because I kept screwing it up.
So, he has his merits. Blight. I own an updated Blot. I can't believe it, really.
Yeah, and he transforms way more than the old one.
Yeah. He transforms a lot more than I expected. Like, right now I have him in, what Hasbro calls an ogre mode?
I'm just taking them all as they're dragons. Like, yeah. It's easier just to call them all dragons and then just pretend some of them are more dragon.
He reminds me of, like, how they drew the Tarrasque in AD&D.
Mm-hmm.
Just upright and big hunched over, big neck and head thing.
Yeah.
So he kind of has that vibe going for me. And he's nice. I'm surprised that his little beast mode here is as endearing as it is, considering it's really just him flipped over.
Well, it's the little things, I think, like the way that the side panels of the torsos, like, kind of they form a pyramid in either direction by swiveling.
Right.
So it's like the robot groin is the beast neck, and the beast neck is the robot groin.
Double groin transformation.
That's right.
I will say he's way more blotty in person. Because you look at those heavy Photoshop pics, you don't see all the purple. It all looks gray.
Yeah.
Which was weird when I got him. Like, I really didn't expect him to have that much violet on him.
He has enhanced blot factor.
Yes. Yeah, so he turned out better than I expected. Mm-hmm. I got their name right. Now I'm confused on the name. Hang on.
It's Windrazor.
Windrazor? Okay.
Yeah. It took me a little while to get... It's, the weird thing is that I got used to those names and I forgot the G1 names because I got used to those names.
No, I like Cutthroat better, but I don't think that'd be too PC these days.
I don't get it. I don't get what's PC anymore. Like, I didn't cut this... Make, just write his bio to make him out to be a pirate. And they're good.
Yeah. Oh, it works. He's by far the simplest transformation. I don't think there's any surprise there.
Yeah.
But, oh man, does he make up for it. Because he's got the best articulation out of him. I love how much you can get out of his beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does the flight mode. He does, you know, your standing wings open. He can perch with his wings closed. I love that.
I so wish in the robot mode the cuts on the ball joint cup had been somehow different. Because in the robot mode, his elbow ball joints are almost really good. They're still fine, but it's like they're cut in a way where it's like, oh, I can just barely not get this particular pose.
Yeah, but beyond that, I mean, he's probably my favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends a lot more time in beast mode just for how expressive it is.
And he's got size with the wings.
Oh, yeah. He does not look like a Legion class.
Yeah.
For those looking to get these guys because they all combine together, don't make that a selling point. Because it is definitely a bonus. These guys are best when they are individual.
Yeah. I think the combined mode is getting undersold, but I think it's better that it's a surprise if it is up your alley.
Yeah. Definitely. On yours, can you get Blight and Rippersnapper's torsos to close when he's combined?
I found there are actually very specific little tabs that have the C-clip area get a little bit more exposed. The problem is that the stock figures don't really hold together on those tabs in any way. Mm-hmm. I had to thicken the tabs a little bit. Then they held together really great. But I had to do a bunch of work on Rippersnapper and Blight.
Okay, because that threw me off.
Yeah, they so definitely like, have problems out of the package.
Yeah. Because you had to guess how to combine them since we don't have, like, official instructions yet. So I'm doing something wrong because I can see pins. They're not going together.
Yeah. It's really hard to describe because they're so small.
Yeah.
Once I do the videos on them, I'm going to try to make it really clear how the leg modes go together. Because I think I found all the intentional engineering for it. But I find it really difficult to explain. And if with pictures, they're so small that I feel like, even with pictures, I'd have trouble because I'd be like putting arrows on things, but then it would just be a picture full of arrows with this little toy buried underneath. I don't know. It's really weird. Definitely out of the box, there's problems with those two in their leg modes.
Yeah. I want to do videos on these guys too. So, you know, of course you're going to release yours like 3 hours after mine, but.
Yeah, that's the unspoken agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently. I just found out about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I've been falling behind, too, so I'm already not living up to the agreement.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do a little bit more exploring before I can do that. Because I really want to figure out... I want to be sure I know how these guys work before I cement anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, Abominus... underwhelming. Because he looks okay. Like I actually like this big ugly silhouette he kind of has going for him.
Mm-hmm.
I like these big monster parts for hands things, but and it is definitely just a bonus to these guys because individually I think they are really nice Legion toys.
I had a different opinion on Abominus before and after I fixed Blight and Rippersnapper. Once those legs became solid legs, and also I added a ton of floor polish to all four ball joints on Hunger, because he needs it, basically. Because
yeah.
they're too heavy for those ball joints. And it's really easy to do. It's just like, Abominus needs some TLC, and once you do it, he's a different toy, at least in my opinion. But a stock Abominus will probably have loose shoulders and really finicky legs, which totally dented my first experience with them. So, any disappointment I really cannot blame, because I mean I did stuff to mine, which made it a toy I really liked. That's cool. So you've joined the Abominus camp, and the mm-hmm. I guess that's our Transformers talk. So I'm
glad
just gonna,
I can help.
Yeah, thank you. You've brought what Empire brought to the last episode of this podcast. The only person with Transformers. So I'm just gonna resuscitate Aaron for a second here. And Aaron, are you still with us?
No.
How's the nasals?
So it's now running down the throat rather than out the nose.
Oh, it's the worst!
Yeah.
That's the worst because...
Because you can't do anything about it. I could maybe stand on my head and drown myself.
Can you do inner breathing? Like, can you shove air up from the throat right through the back of your head?
Maybe.
Like that kind of thing.
I don't want to experiment, though, because I may just end up blowing out the back of my head.
Oh. That would be a very embarrassing way to go.
Yes.
Well, you must have got something this week.
You ready for Lego time?
I guess. I will just say for our listeners, there's going to be some non-Lego talk and something that a bunch of you will be super interested in if you were at TFCon last year. So if you are some kind of weirdo who can't survive these Lego times, you know, don't be that person. There come the Lego police. Yeah, they're already.
There's the one.
Someone already stopped the podcast. They're on their way to your house now, sir. Don't even just lay down on your carpet, hands on your head.
Okay. The one Lego, non-Lego thing I'd say real quick is got back to playing Star Trek Online. Kind of mentioned it before, and am enjoying it. Yeah, amazing how much an MMO can change in like 3.5 years, 4 years, whatever it's been since I played it in the beta. And then I played it some in full release, and they kept trying to sell the lifetime subscription, and I said no, and now I'm kind of wishing I did, because then I'd have my old stuff, but eh. So now Lego.
Yeah.
I got the Malibu Mansion Attack that I finally built. I got that back around my birthday. It comes with the most important character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It does.
Dummy.
Well... Okay, debatably the most important.
And I even took the hat off of the sad clown from Series 10 and put it on him, so he has his dunce cap.
I was so sad when I realized that dunce cap wasn't from the box you were using on your stream. I was like, oh, I don't want to have to look for a figure.
Well, he's a pretty easy one to tell because he has a cone head. So...
I can
hunt you down one before TFCon if that'll be something significant for you.
That would be a very big life event for me.
Yeah. let's see what else. Built the supercar creator set as the very drift looking supercar. Haven't built the, I think that's a tow truck and then like a funny car build. It's like the quarter mile fast car. Started the town hall build. I got the first floor done in like 3 hours or so of live stream, and I haven't gotten back to do the next two floors and roof on that. Trying to think what else. Oh, one of our listeners, Knockout 196, I think it was, sent me a Lego Dynamite piece that he had extra because I had been talking about wanting Dynamite pieces. And then he's like, well, I've got a couple, and then apologized in his letter because he could only find one. And that is one more than I had before. And it still is super awesome, crazy, weird that people listen and then like send stuff. It's hard to rectify these things in my brain sometime.
I just want to know who the complete monster is that would get a letter where someone actually apologizes that they gave the not quite the right free thing and then doesn't, and then actually is the waste of time that would go like, well, I'll accept your apology this time, but this better not happen again. You know, like, who's going to be the guy? I bet you he's out there, too. Just some scumbag.
Probably. Some entitled a-hole. But no, I'm thankful for it.
I don't mean to make fun of anyone who writes the apology. It always makes me think that, like, apologies happen because probably somewhere out there someone was the guy who set the precedent. And anyway.
But, and then over the weekend that may or may not have happened at the time of this recording,
this coming Brick weekend. World.
Yes. Went to Brick World. So, go back to the 15th of, what is this, June, and look at my Twitter feed and a whole bunch of tweets of various things. Got to see the Serenity.
To the 15th of June.
Regardless, they'll be listening to this afterwards because you and your notorious editing.
No, they're just all too slow on the download. That's what's happening.
Okay. Whatever story you got to tell yourself.
Yeah.
So got to see the Lego Serenity, and I actually feel kind of bad, but also good at the same time that I out geeked the guy. So he was showing off. He had Wash on the bridge. He has all the minifigs that are done up custom, including a knit cap for Jane. He had a dinosaur, little dinosaur on the bridge as well for Wash. Showed off like all the staterooms down the side. You can see from the kitchen, he removes a floor panel thing so that you can get light down to see into the cargo hold. It says, even have everything in the cargo hold, including the weight bench. I said, oh, is the basketball hoop in there too? And he goes, oh, yeah.
Well, good job ruining someone's efforts. just spitting all over.
And I felt bad. Huh? I felt bad, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, I out-nerded the guy that built a giant Lego Serenity.
Congratulations.
My life is complete. But got to see Lego Normandy SR2. The guy that makes all the Halo guns was there. He had a bunch of Halo guns. He had a bunch of Nintendo consoles. There was a Super Nintendo that I had to do like a triple take on as I was walking around and saw it through other things. I was like, why does he have a Super Nintendo just sitting up? Because even from the back, like the ports that were on there, on the bottom part, he had stuff there to be those ports.
I saw that, all those smooth bricks to make that look right. Ooh.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I've got to go back to my camera for all the stuff that was there. There is a big M-tron display, the same one that was at the Brick World at Indy.
Arranged kind of perfectly.
There was a Blacktron train display that even had like a dude melting out of the Blacktron. There was like a store case that had a bunch of Lego history in it. They had Lego blocks, wooden blocks, mm-hmm. like children's blocks. Had one of the original Lego piece sets where it was just like you got white bricks and red bricks and yellow bricks and blue bricks. Had the cylinderless Lego, so from the very first patent. Had a bunch of Lego the business cards when you work for like big time Lego is actually a minifig with hair that's similar to yours, and the front of it is your name, and then the back of it's your contact information. Had a bunch of those in there.
Wow.
Let's see. Scrolling through the pictures that I took, there was a Clerks 2 kind of montage of the Quickstop RST and movies. There was a Flossed in Paradise that was a big display. That was the battle scene from Fifth Element, including a jumping Corbin Dallas. Jumping down into the bar. There's a Futurama display. There's a little Calvin and Hobbes thing. There was a Mel Brooks Blazing Saddles and Spaceballs kind of combo that was just tucked in a corner. Scrolling through pictures here because there was so much. Clue board game, Kiss concert. Back to the Future 3 train thing where the Doc Brown's train pushed the DeLorean with magnets so they didn't actually contact. I was sitting there joking about it, and the guy said, yeah, unfortunately, I can't get it up to 88 miles an hour. I said, well, what would that be in scale? And then he got a really serious look and grabbed a notepad, and I had to kind of get out of there.
I don't think it's safe for you to hang out with these people. I think they're a bad influence. I'm not...
There was like a steampunk future city. There was a Portal 2 because it was Peabody and Atlas. Some like real life looking guns that I had at one guy on Twitter react violently to why would somebody bring guns to a Lego show, and it was like it's all made out of Lego.
I gotta sit you down and tell you what Lego is. Hang on a second.
And there was one that actually looked really neat where it used the two different colors of brown in the stock of like a shotgun.
Oh,
so
man.
So it looked like the wood grain through the stock. Bunch of mechs. There was a Casino of Justice that had a bunch of DC and Marvel characters. With Hulk as a bouncer, Tony Stark tending bar, had a couple of the Friends
this is girls like the worst idea for a bartender.
As go-go dancers, had a Power Girl with custom chest piece.
Oh, good.
If you know what I'm saying. and there was a back room that was the high-stakes poker room that was just a bunch of Batman playing high-stakes poker.
Yes.
All the different Batman.
All right. I was about to ask what a Casino of Justice is, and I really like the answer that was given.
Well, the outside of it looked like the Hall of Justice.
Oh, okay. It's like that weird archway with all the ridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had like a 6-foot-tall Saturn V rocket. Okay, so there's the Normandy, there's the Reaper, there was a Cortana that was a bunch of 1x1 studs in clear, light blue, and dark blue that was mounted on a gearing system so they'd rotate so that it made like a flicker effect on the hologram when it was turned on.
Clearly you also came home with all of these.
Yeah, because I actually had, what was it? There was one of them that was obviously, you know, obviously a custom built. You know, that's what the majority of these things are. And there was a lady that was like, I think my son has that set. I was like, no, he doesn't. Maybe he has a lot of pieces and can get close
to
that.
Bring your son over here.
It was, there was a series of small builds. It wasn't the Flynn's Arcade, but it was the thing that was next to it. It was like, no, these are all very much custom.
I want to imagine she got into a really loud argument with you over this.
No, it was just one where I just did like the open mouth, shut mouth, open mouth, shut mouth. No. There was a Pink 5 there that was the UCS X-Wing that just came out. But they swapped in a bunch of the Friends colors bricks, the pink and purple and mauve colored bricks. What were some of the other neat things? There was a Dune scene that used the half planet pieces from those Star Wars micro builds as a sandworm.
Oh wow! Okay,
it was like, what is that's not what? Oh no! Oh my gosh!
That's clever.
Some Tron light cycles, and that was about it. Yeah, whole bunch of stuff, a lot of neat stuff. But from there, I picked up a couple of the Alien Invasion, like the smaller ones. I think it was the Alien Striker and Alien Defender.
Yeah,
that were just little. I think it was like $10 and $15 or something. Got a classic space custom build where it's like the gray and blue with transparent yellow, like the 80s classic space was.
Oh, is that kind of like that arrow-shaped ship you tweeted a picture of?
Yeah, that arrow-shaped ship. That is somebody else's design, not a Lego thing. Had some difficulties with the instructions because it was like 4 steps at once and it would require layering, but it was like low resolution black and white picture. So it's like, and then you do this. I'm like,
obviously you just put it there.
Yeah. Yeah. You just do it like that. Yep. That's it. Got it. There was I want to say it was like late 90s because it was in a small box, but it was like a tourist with a space with like the space logo on a jacket that had like a luggage cart, and I got it just because it had the logo on the jacket, and it was like $4. Got some custom printed pieces. Alfie is wanting to do working on an abandoned building, like in modular scale.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that she's always said whenever she goes into some of the places like that, you always find stacks of newspaper and old pizza boxes and whatnot, and she has a couple of newspaper pieces, so she's going to make like a bundled up thing of newspapers, but she wanted to get something for pizza boxes, and there was a place that did custom brick printing, and there was Brixa Pizza and Brickamo's Pizza and then so then later got to talking to Defuzz, who was there, and had mentioned that there was a Starbucks cup that was Starbricks coffee. And he's like, oh man, I wish I'd seen that. And thankfully, there was somebody that was up there again that was able to get a hold of those. And so they actually had two of them. I don't know. Did you see that picture that I tweeted out to Defuzz?
I didn't catch it, no.
See if I can find it here real quick.
I saw it. Where were you?
I was, da, da, you know, da, da, what day da, was it?
It was today.
I was working.
Seven hours ago. Yeah, today or in the past or in the future or something. But there's a picture.
Maintain the illusion.
Blown up really big. It doesn't look quite as good, but they're
custom.
So those are actually custom pieces on top, where the one that's supposed to be like the mocha with foam actually has a swirl pattern on the top of the block, and then it has been like brushed with brown ink, so it looks like the cinnamon dash or whatever on top of it.
Yeah.
And then the normal one with the flat top has like the lid print on top of it that looks really neat. I was able to pick those up for him for delivery at TFCon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what else. We did a Lego store trip where I picked up a Technics thing to thank my brother for watching the dogs while we were gone.
Did you share the pick-a-brick science with anyone?
We did do some pick-a-brick, but because of what we were picking in our bricks, we were not able to do the crazy cram it all in. They had the very large gray base plates that just barely fit in the large pick-a-brick cup that unfortunately kills a lot of the stacking techniques that you could do, unless we really wanted to spend time there, and nobody really wanted to spend a ton of time there because we were all starting to feel the fade after everything.
You actually had some Lego fatigue.
Yeah, well, that and then a lot of Brick World people were there because it was very close. It was, you know, a 4-minute, 5-minute drive away from there. There was a guy. So there was a big, like, World War II landing craft style MOC. Big, 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 big thing. And what they used for the water is they just had the 1x1 studs in dark blue, light blue, and white. Dark blue for the majority of it, and then light blue and white behind the boats to be like the wake of it. Looked really neat. Well, they had the pick-a-brick wall, and then they had a table out in the middle of the store that had a bunch of their boxes that is what they get before they throw it into the wall, and they just had them out there. And there was one guy that came in and got 4 or 5 cups full and just basically emptied the box of the dark blue the dark blue 1x1 things to do that, which kind of was a dick move because there were also kids in there that were trying to do stuff, and this guy just came in and was like, scoop, scoop, scoop. No, after
did
I saw
guys take
that
him
guy
out back?
Well, so he asked the Lego employees, oh, you got another one of these boxes? And the guy goes, no, I don't think so. I'll go look. And then he went off into the back and came back a couple minutes later. It's like, no, we don't. I'm sorry. He's like, ah, okay. Well, I guess I'll just see if my store at home has that. And he goes like, okay, that's a good idea. Yeah. And then like 10 minutes later, another box of those blue ones came out. The guy just had a kind of sideways grin on his face. So
I was going to ask you if the Lego store had prepared for the Brick World onslaught.
I don't think so. Maybe they did and I just didn't see it. But yeah, I did get the big base plates, and I also got these trash cans, but they were in gray, and you can take them and stack them on top of each other, and they look either like columns, or I have an upcoming build that I want to do that would be really good if I had something that looks good for a railgun. And so then these big square boxes stacked on top of each other, the pattern follows from one to the next and makes it look like some sort of framework around something like a railgun.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention the light, the custom light thing that I got? LED lights? No, I didn't.
I don't think so.
So, the Palace Cinema has clear windows that have movie posters on it. And I wanted to come up with a way to get light in there without it being something terribly obtrusive. And so it's a company, I forget their name, it's on a card that's downstairs. But they sell little AAA LED kits. And so it's 3 LEDs that chain together, and I could probably chain more in if I bought more of the cables and lights to chain together. But I was able to take 2 of them and position them really well so that it's not getting direct light on it, but it's getting flood across it so that I can flip a switch on the inside and then light up these posters in the theater. So it'll look good if it's on display or if I want to show it off.
Hmm.
I think that's about it of my massive amount of Lego.
All right. Does Lego also make up pretty much your off topic?
Oh, that is the off topic.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple quick things to talk about.
Okay.
So I got my HLJ box that I kind of didn't mean to ship, but it had been in my private warehouse long enough where it automatically shipped. So I got two figures. I got an SIC Kiwami Tamashi Kamen Rider Ultimate Rising Kuga. It's a cool little figure. He doesn't have the immobile torso joint problem of the Mighty Form Kuga. And he's a Kuga in black and gold armor, and you can give him evil dark eyes. He's pretty poseable. He comes with a lot of hands. And he's just nice. Ultimate Kugas tend to make good figures. So, it's cool that one of them is available at basically at retail. And also in the box was SH Figure Arts Rider Man, who permanently looks really silly. It's kind of his thing. He's the Kamen Rider whose face is exposed from the nose down. His face sculpt has him looking really awkward. But his accessories are neat. He's got, basically, he can remove his arms and plug on these robot arms. And one of them, they gave you, like, two different lengths of, literally, string. Like, rope. Like, woven, threaded string. To give him his rope arm, where he can attach, like, a hook or a comma or a mace to the end and has have him, like, bash fools. My only problem with him is he comes with these closed hands with a hole through them that you're meant to run the string through, but the hard plastic bits on either end of the string are just wide enough to not really fit happily through the hands. And it makes me feel like pushing them through exerts so much force on the string that eventually it'll fray and damage the string. But yeah, I mean, he's a figure arts toy, so he's got lots of qualities going for him. I don't entirely understand why his pectoral plates can be moved around individually, because it doesn't seem to enhance the articulation at all, but they can. So I haven't figured that out yet. But those came from HLJ, from my private warehouse. Today I bought some toys because I really wanted to just buy a toy to ease my mind. And I went to a comic shop and they had all three of the new Nika Pacific Rim figures. Have you guys kept up with Pacific Rim much at all?
It's going to be crazy.
One with the robots, right?
Yep, Guillermo del Toro, he's been shooting in Toronto. The monsters are actually called Kaiju, the robots are called Jaegers. So I tweeted you a link to what the Series 1 figures are. It's two Jaegers and a Kaiju. So the blue Jaeger, Gypsy Danger, the American one, is like the main character, it appears, of the movie, is not a very good figure. It's by no means Nika's worst. It's not terrible. It's pretty poseable. The problem is that every single joint bar, like the ab double joint, which is pretty good, every other joint is kind of limited. And it means that he can't really pose very well outside of just standing there. And he's a very, like, classic super robot looking design that looks lithe enough that it really kind of needs to be in extreme poses to get its potential out there.
Yeah.
And the toy can't actually assume those extreme poses. Also, the lack of bicep swivels are literally painful, because there are so many times where it's like, all right, it needs to swivel his bicep. Oh, no, he can't.
Wow.
It's pretty tall. It's like, it's a sizable figure. It's a decent sculpt. It just is not Nika's best, and being the flagship robot of a big-time movie, a lot of people are buying Gypsy Danger as their first Nika outing if they haven't done it already, and are pretty disappointed, is the impression I'm getting. And I don't blame him. I think it's kind of unfortunate. And I'm hoping that Gypsy Danger was just, like, the odd man out of this figure line. Because they're doing at least three more. And there are a couple more Jaegers and Kaijus they could be doing.
Now, that's kind of Nika style, isn't it? Like, the one that seems like it should be the most anticipated is the one that they kind of... Yeah, on?
Well, they did a really good job on all three figures in the latest Predator wave, which was, like, two Dutches and the original Predator.
Okay.
And all three of them were great, so I was like, man, they must be picking it up. But no, Gypsy Danger was not super good. The Kaiju, Knifehead, is like a toy from a different line. He's in scale with them, but he just has like forward swiveling cut shoulders, elbow hinges and knee hinges. There's a double ball joint connecting his hip to the pelvis, but it's kind of like on Monster Arts where there's not really much room to move it. It's just kind of the connection point. His two little vestigial arms don't move at all. His mouth opens and closes, but his tongue doesn't retract, so it looks like he's just chomping on his own tongue. And kind of randomly, his tail is wire poseable. Which, I know, like, the Kaiju in this movie, what I understand is they were designed, even though they're not like this. They were designed so they could be made into actual person costumes, just as an homage. And maybe the rubber wire poseable tail is part of that, but honestly, it just kind of feels like they had no idea what to do with the tail and went like, well, some other companies put the wire in the tail, so we'll do it too. So it's a cool-looking kaiju design, and I know there are people who just collect monsters like this in vinyl form, and this will satisfy that heavily. Like, it's really a good sculpt, and he's not, like, messily painted, really. Like, any kind of squiggle in his yellow lines kind of work for what he is. So, you know, kaiju collectors will probably like this guy, and he's a great companion piece to the Jaeger toys, but he certainly is not going to wow you at all. So we're kind of 0-2 so far in being able to actually say, like, yeah, go out and buy these right now. Like, if you're someone who hasn't already made the decision. So you guys see that red one there?
Yeah.
It's called the Crimson Typhoon. It's China's robot. You see how he has, like, one really big arm, and then on the other arm, it's just two smaller normal arms?
Yeah.
Okay. Crimson Typhoon is almost as the... like, he feels like he's from a different line in the good way. So... he's really poseable, and most of his poseability is unhindered, and it's pretty well done. He's got, like, double ball joints in his neck, so his little thruster head can look around everywhere. He's got a barbell double ball joint connecting his upper body to his pelvis with a huge range of motion. The two small arms have a limited but decent double barbell ball joint, hinged elbows, hinged wrists, the big arm... pretty much identical, except it has a ball-jointed wrist and more range on its shoulder. Barbell ball-jointed hips with a lot of range. And he's got, like, three hinge joints on each leg because he's got the goat leg kind of look. But you can actually straighten them all the way out due to all the articulation. Crimson Typhoon is a very decent and easily recommendable figure. It's just a cool-looking robot. It's a Chinese robot, which is even better. And it's also, like, the best of the three figures. And it's not worth picking up just because it's the best of the three figures. It's worth picking up because it's just a really cool, unique, and well-done robot figure that you can probably find for under $20. So, I really like Crimson Typhoon. The only problem with him is that his paintwork is the roughest, because all the red on him is painted over gunmetal. It's meant to look like it's weathered. I kind of see it, but it also just kind of looks dull. But I really like Crimson Typhoon. And I'm hoping that the rest of the figures that Nika does are like him. Because I'm anticipating that I'm going to be really into this movie. So I want to have figures of all these dudes. As many as I can. Seems like Nika has the license pretty much locked in right now. So they're the only choice. And toys of giant robots are a big thing up my alley. I don't know if anyone noticed that or not. So if you are seeing these things on shelves and you're a discerning collector, pick up Crimson Typhoon. If you need a monster for him to fight, and by that I mean stand next to, because Crimson Typhoon's ball joints will actually, they can't really deal with you trying to have him, like, lift up Knife Head. Maybe Knife Head's worth it, but Knife Head's not amazing on his own. Gypsy Danger, I'd say wait for the 18-inch figure they're doing, and let's all hope it turns out better. So yeah, that's some Pacific Rim updates. Did either of you guys have any interest in picking up Pacific Rim figures? I haven't really gauged people's opinions on it outside of Twitter yet.
Not really. I think the bigger thing is going to be, like, after seeing the movie,
yeah, right.
It might be something. But right now, it's interesting design, but if the movie ends up, which I don't think it'll be, but a derp fest, then it'll be like, yeah, wow, so glad I spent all that money.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to depend on how much I like the movie and how attached I get to the designs then.
Yeah. I also forgot to mention, Gypsy Danger has a hinged heel, but not a hinged toe. And I literally can't tell you what a hinged heel would do. Like, the back third of his foot can fold up. I don't know why. Because the ankle is mounted on the front two-thirds. Really weird figure. Anyway, the last thing I got this week is something that is currently not actually out. I got this as a, I guess kind of a review copy, but also a what's your opinion on it copy. I'm going to tweet you guys a picture. Do you remember this at all? He's kind of popped up last year and then went into a 1-year silence.
Oh. Huh.
Do either of you remember that?
I do vaguely remember that.
So Acid Rain is a fictional setting created by an artist called Skronex. The idea is it's your classic dystopian world at war, and the war has caused so much pollution it literally rains acid from the sky.
Okay.
So what the toy line is a 1 to 18th scale that is a G.I. Joe scaled toy line of soldiers and vehicles. And the vehicles can all, you know, transform somewhat. In the case of this thing's called the Stronghold. It's a big-ass block of a tank, and it turns into a big-ass, kind of slightly Votoms-looking robot. And you can open up the front hatch on the chest, and there's actually a cockpit inside that you can seat a G.I. Joe inside, or, you know, whenever they release them, an Acid Rain soldier. So the kind of cool thing about Acid Rain is that it's G.I. Joe-scale transforming vehicles that are actually realized. The other cool thing about it is twofold. It's got the build quality of a really good independent toy, like like a Fans Project toy, right? But yeah. The paintwork is like it's on par with 3A on their best day. Like you see all the weathering on them? Like the grime of the weathering actually has a texture, and the box is multiple layers. Like the thing's sealed in like a styrofoam crate inside the box, but with all the sleeves and boxes on the outside of that, there's a hole bored straight through to the back of the tank. So without opening the box, you can feel the texture of the paint on the back of the tank mode, like from outside the box. There's a big hole in the back of the box, and above it is this huge bold text that says, "Go feel it." So they want you to feel the weathering of the toy. Feels like this. So the transformation is really cool. It's very simple. It's very pragmatic, but it's well done. Like, the pragmatic, you can clearly see, is, like, the aesthetic of the whole toy. It's
right.
It's a pair of double missile launchers on treads with a cockpit inside. So turning into a walking vehicle means it basically just stands up. The posability, though, is really good. Like, there's a lot of personality you can put into the posability. So even though, you know, it's a piloted mech, you can make it look like it's alive. The hips actually have like a joint, the connection to the pelvis, they can actually start arcing, like they can, how do you put this? Like aside from having a forward and backward swivel, they also have like a horizontal swivel that lets them like tilt backwards in a way. So you can okay. have the feet pointing outwards. And the best part of all this, right, is that a lot of the joints are ratcheted. So, Aaron, I'm going to make your life difficult. Here's a shoulder. Right? And then here's the outward shoulder. Here's the elbow. And here's the bicep. Right? So it's super solid. Your waist, it's on soft detents. The hips are on detents. The joints that connect the treads to those things are on detents. Everything is detented.
I have to say this is a good thing because it started my nose running again.
Excellent. With blood or with mucus?
Oh, it's mucus. The blood's probably coming behind it, but
okay. There's no knee joint, but there's a swivel at the base connection of the treads to both of those plates, which combined with the double arcs you can move the hips in, like there's a ton of posability, and this guy is like unable to fall down because he's got enormous feet that prevent him from doing so. Also, like those missile launchers, you see, like there's those double hatchways on the front. You can open those up, and there's a shell inside that you can pull out. He's got on the sides of those missile launchers, those rectangular panels can fold down, and they have G.I. Joe compatible foot pegs on them. And all the bars on the sides are G.I. Joe hand compatible. So you can have troops, like, riding on him. And the window of the cockpit up there, you can actually fold up. And then the coolest thing is you can fold down the panel at the back to reveal the engine block, and you can also stick two watch batteries in there, and then there's two monitors inside the cockpit area that light up. The only problem is they don't light up super bright. Maybe it's because I'm using, watch batteries I pulled out of a Gaia memory. But the light doesn't go far enough to illuminate the inside of the robot mode head, which is the only bummer I've seen on this thing so far. Also, some of the joints were a bit paint stuck because this thing is covered in paint, but they came loose safer and easier than any paint stuck or glue stuck Nika joint I've worked with. There's also like trailer hitches on the front and back of this guy. So if you have multiple ones, you can chain together their tank modes. In the promo pictures, there was another vehicle that was towing one of these strongholds, and that vehicle had like a deployable accordion style troop barricade that could come out of it. So the thing is heavy. The treads are rubber. They don't roll, but they're made of rubber, or at least a flexible plastic. Anyway, it's a super cool thing. Hopefully it'll be out soon, and hopefully it won't be priced hideously high, because it is a really cool figure, and it's a really cool thing that is in scale with a very common scale, that being the 4-inch figure scale. And I fit a lot of things in the cockpit. Like, I fit a G.I. Joe in there, I fit a Zombie Viper in there, I fit a Marvel Spider-Man figure in there, and I even managed to fit my 4-inch Nika Carmine from Gears of War in there.
Okay.
And Gears of War are a really good fit with this aesthetic, because everything looks dirty and, like, the world is hopeless. Also, everything clicks. Like, the hatch on the front, like, clicks back in place. The little doors that open for the missiles have a click, so when you open them and close them, like, they really solidly go in place. So, again, I don't know who's carrying this. I know Robot Kingdom was talking about this a year ago, but it didn't seem to go anywhere. Whoever ends up carrying this, you know, keep your eyes out if this sounds interesting. I'm hopefully going to have a video up by the time this podcast is live, or if this somehow goes up tomorrow, then by Wednesday. But this is super exciting to see these things realized. And a couple people saw these briefly at TFCon last year, but I wasn't among them. So this was very new to me. Anyway. The other vehicles out there, if you search for them, search for Ori Toy. That's the company. And so Ori Toy Acid Rain. And there's a couple promo pictures that are floating around of this thing. Also, a four-wheeled kind of ATV thing that forms into an exosuit for the driver. I really hope these guys can actually get this project off the ground, because it's really well done. And the only thing I think that could stop it would be really high prices. So hopefully that doesn't happen. And also, the aesthetic is very particular, so you gotta kind of like how it looks. But, Aaron, I couldn't remember if you saw this at TFCon or not. I've been trying to identify who did.
I think I remember seeing something like that, but TFCon's been a while ago. Almost a year.
I know Crasis remembers very clearly, so I've been kind of torturing him over Twitter in private messages. That's been kind of fun.
Continue the good work.
Yeah, you know, it's doing what I gotta do. I'm curious, like, because, Aaron, I know you've seen these before, so there's probably, like, do you feel any inherent interest in these, or were they kind of a lukewarm thing for you?
Looks neat. That's as far as it's gonna go.
Probably a safe thing to do. Omegas, I don't think I talked to you about these at all, because after, like, May, there was no further updates on this line whatsoever. So it kind of just fell off the radar a bit. But what do you think of the idea of it?
It's not a bad idea.
Hmm.
And not something I think I'd particularly go for. But, you know, I don't know, it sounds interesting.
I'm really hoping they can make stuff that feels... I'd love to see something, even though this is all based on an artist's vision... If they can get a toy out in this line that feels really G.I. Joe, I think that could be a great gateway point. Kind of like a killer app, if you will. Because the G.I. Joe connection is really cool. The only thing is that the tank doesn't really look like a G.I. Joe tank. Like, it looks like a horrible dystopian future tank.
Yeah, it looks like a... Yeah.
I don't know, movie G.I. Joe?
No, because it's too boxy for movie G.I. Joe stuff.
That's right. Gotta have that former Weta design going on. Anyway, that's all I got this week. That's all I got this week. That's all that we got this week. So, uh-oh.
What?
Oh! Sorry! For some reason, I thought we did your off-topic. I think it's because you were the only Transformers person.
I see how it goes here. Okay.
I had aspirin. Sorry. That's what I got this week. But that's not all that we got this week, because Omegas has yet to tell us what he's got this week.
It was actually kind of small.
Aw.
Morphin was like, what, we don't have time for this? I'm only like two things.
Listen, G.I. Joe's take a while to talk about.
Now, just one small thing that Aaron threw in, which was a deck of Shin Kendra playing cards.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, this is a nice little surprise. But it's Shin Kendra, right? So yeah. It's all disc-based, so these playing cards are round.
I like novelty playing card shapes.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say I've seen round cards before, but I think I'm thinking like Star Trek style cards.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Star
Trek style would be like 6-sided or 8-sided, something crazy.
Is it one of those decks where it's like every character is assigned to a number or letter?
Yeah. All the face cards have Shin Kendra's either. Transformed, untransformed, they got two aces that are Shinkeno, that kind of thing.
I was going to ask who the Joker is.
Let's see. I think the Jokers are villains.
Aha!
Please. Yeah, it's been a while, so names are escaping me a little
Please
bit.
Please tell me it's Fua Juzo.
No, Juzo, no. I think these came out pretty early, because there's no Shinken Gold.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Send them back!
Thank you for your charity. Not good enough!
Make me better ones!
I feel bad. I feel bad. The origamis for the girls have to share a card.
Aw.
Seems like a ripoff.
Well, they're so tiny. That was the one problem with Shin Kendra. The Lady Mecha got very screwed over.
Actually, not quite uncommon, really.
Yeah.
Beyond that, since I have a convention coming up, I did pick up one more thing for the Never To Be Opened pile.
Ooh.
Yeah, if I can pull... Hang on. If I can pull up this guy's name really quick, because I really don't want to screw it up.
Orson Welles.
No, I don't think it's going to be Orson Welles.
Oh.
No, it's not going to screw it. For my convention this year, the theme seems to be Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the voice actress who's like Korra now in the new series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and a few other spot actors, like Phil Lamar is going to be there, who I'm really excited about. But also, the villain-turned-hero, I guess, Zuko, his voice actor, Dante Bosco, is going to be there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. And I was thinking, well, he's going to get a billion of Zukos, and he's going to get a billion Avatar DVDs. So I went digging in his career to find something else. He had a toy, and you know what else he was? He's Rufio.
That hey, you know what? Okay, if that's Rufio, he was also in Blood and Bone, which was a kind of awesome and completely unknown Michael Jai White movie. I know that because Matt Miller plays a thug in that movie.
Yep, there it is. In his filmography.
That's kind of awesome because Rufio is. That actor's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
At least my very fleeting knowledge of that actor makes him pretty cool. Like,
well,
maybe he's done something horrible. I don't know.
I will be sure to ask him, because I will be doing an interview with him.
Have you done anything horrible?
No, that's kind of cool. I'm actually really looking forward to that.
That should be fun.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I have cards of characters and a toy I will never open, and I'm done.
Well, you're going to open up its potential, right? By having it get signed by people.
Oh, yeah.
So, Only the practical side is unopened. I'm having these weird visions. I'm having aspirin vision.
Aspirin visions.
Oh. Hey, guys.
Ibuprofen kicking in?
Yeah, a little bit. I really hope I don't wake up sick tomorrow. Aaron, what have you done to me?
Nothing. What have you done to me?
I don't know, but you made
This temporal issues.
Yeah, we were time warping everywhere. I'm forgetting what part of the podcast we're in. All right. We're here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. That was episode 256 of WTF and TFW. I'm going to keep saying it. The voicemail number for our podcast. Where did my notes go? Oh, it's under stickies. Hang on. I was really worried there for a second. The voicemail number for this podcast is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. That's been myself as Vangelis and Aaron as Aaron and Omegas as Omegas. How do you guys feel about your roles?
I don't know. I think I'm poorly cast.
Well, season two, we'll add some wrinkles. Maybe the Daryl of the show.
Oh, it's season two, so I get garter straps now.
That's right. You got a gun for a hand.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.